the Spirit comes down. Glory to God. So tarrying and waiting and waiting and waiting. The only time you might need to tarry is while you're deciding whether or not to repent. Since the Holy Ghost does not come in an unclean temple. Hallelujah. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. Now what do you say about Ephesus? It was a great door, and he planned on staying there to Pentecost. He would tarry until Pentecost. After Pentecost comes, no need to tarry, of course. But it's a great door. Who would like to see this seminar be a great door in this community to bring in this community? Well, it can be the first door, and behind that door is another door. Behind that door is another door, and behind that door is another door. Some doors are big, some are small. If you just learn not to try to kick down the door he shut, and have the backbone to walk through the door that he opened. There's a door behind a door behind a door, which is how you will discover the will of God for your life. You that desire the perfect will, walk through the open door. For it is he who shutteth and no man openeth, and who openeth and no man shutteth. No man can shut an open door except you who refuses to walk through it. There's no man so blind as he who will not see, or as deaf as he who will not hear. Glory to Jesus. I love him. So he's going to have a great door in Ephesus, and it truly was a great door. And it was an effectual, he said. An effectual door is a door that has effect. And I believe we're going to have some effect here tonight. The move of the gifts of the Spirit is going to have an effect on you. And the effect it's going to have on you is going to reproduce in you the same thing that the previous generation had. Now, we've got a subject matter here that they talk about by the mile and they operate it by the inch. Hello. Lots of talk these days, especially in the ranks, about power demonstration, signs, wonders, and miracles. We've got to have the power of God or change our shingle. Wondering why the preacher bends his ear and listens for a response. Amen, oh me, or oh my, one of them will fit you. The microphone's rather portable. We can come down and pick out the quiet spot and preach if we have to. Have mic, will travel. What it really means is there's nobody in the building can escape us this evening. I'm trying to get used to this Houston area heat. I just came down from the mountains of Virginia Sunday. We had a big tent up on the Tazewell County Fairgrounds. And it was cool up there. Had one day to get it down and pack it dry, because tents have to pack dry or they rot. And we got it packed away and got home and parked the truck and caught the plane, and here we are. It was growing, but we couldn't stay there because things were growing down here too. And we don't know just how long we're going to stay except for these 3 days. And Paul knew how long he was going to stay. But he changed his mind right in the middle stream. And we're going to see that in a minute. But he said, I have a great door here in Ephesus, and its effectual is going to have a great effect. And there are many adversaries. That's very important to point that out. Because you cannot have a big door, a great door, and an effectual door without having opposition. You've got to have adversaries. Now, David was amazed to find out who his adversary was. My Lord, my own familiar friend who ate bread with me at the table has lifted up his heel against me. My goodness, my good old precious saint that I just relied on endlessly has lifted up her tongue against me. Hallelujah. Surprising what kind of adversaries you will have when it comes time to get on the camel. When it comes time to go to a wedding. On the strength of the supernatural gifts. It's amazing what kind of devils will try to show up. The devil goes to church, of course. You knew that. We just never know where he's sitting until the fire gets hot. That's what Paul said. So you like this fire, boys? Oh, yes, said the 276 sailors. It's just taking that old chill of the Mediterranean Sea off of us. And you know, Davy Jones's locker was awful close, wasn't it? I was so thankful for this flame, but Paul said, that ain't nothing. Wait till I come back. He was gone a few minutes, came back with a bundle of dead sticks and threw them on the fire. You talk about fire. You talk about heat. You talk about revival. You talk about a flame. That viper couldn't hide no more. He could hide in that lukewarm flame. But when this fire got to going, he had to show his face. Who flushed me out? Who put the heat on me? There's so much heat I can't even stay in the kitchen. If you can't take the heat, get out of the kitchen. So I'm out of the kitchen. Now I'm gonna make somebody pay for discovering where I've been hiding out at. Now, Jesus said to one of the churches of Asia, Thyatira, I think it was, he said, I know where Satan's seat is. Devil got a seat too. But when the fire got hot, out came the viper and said, who did it to me? Who fussed me? Who exposed me? I was doing fine hiding in this bunch of sticks until the fire got too hot. Aha, I see who it is. You know, funny thing, the devil always knew Paul. But even more strange, Paul always knew the devil. They knew each other. In fact, the devil knew him so well, he said, you know, Jesus I know, Paul I'm acquainted with. That old liar had to tell the truth. He was at least acquainted with Paul. Hallelujah. 1,000 people standing around a bonfire, and who got bit? The guy that caused the flame, of course. The guy that caused the fire. Now, when you start getting used of God and operating in God, look for adversaries. Look for opposition. Without the pressure, there will be no miracle. Now, I have enemies. I have a lot of friends. I've got a lot of enemies, too. I thank God every day for my enemies. Every time I go to preacher's meetings, I look around and see if I can find my enemies. Yes, there's a few over there. I walk up to them, shake their hands, say, now, brother, I appreciate you. I want you to stay the way you are. Don't you change for nothing. Don't you be no different than I've always known you, especially to me. Because I need you bad. Because without you, I wouldn't have a ministry. Without gravity resisting me, I couldn't walk. Lumps of coal under pressure turns into diamonds. Mother Lode is in the heart of the earth, greatest pressure. Biggest pearls, bottom of the sea, greatest pressure. Volcanoes under the greatest pressure. Go straight to heaven. Ooh, glory to God. You know, there's a heaven because there's a hell. There's a left because there's a right. There's an up because there's a down. Oh, thank God for pressure and opposition, which formulates the great wonders and works. I challenge you to show me where there was a miracle in the Bible, where there wasn't first a crisis and chaos, and sickness, disease, infirmity, and opposition, and demons crying, and every kind of confusion there ever was. And under the stress of it all, Jesus is calm as a daisy. He said, let there be. Let it be done. See, there's a difference between arrogance and authority. You have to figure that out. Which is which? Say praise the Lord. Glory to God. So without the pressure, there can't be a miracle. So he has a great door, and it's effectual, but there's lots of adversaries, he says. So what happened in Ephesus anyhow? Let me finish reading the text. He has the word of God preached, his mighty prevails, and he purposes in the Spirit his schedule, which is Macedonia, Achaia, Jerusalem, and Rome in that order. But verse 22 said, so he sent into Macedonia, which is the first city on the list where he's supposed to be going to. He sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto him. My dear friend, hear me. If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself. Hello? Nobody can do your job for you. You can send everybody you want to. and it's not going to be the same as you doing what you're supposed to be doing. The gift and the calling of God is without repentance. See, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Just give me a man sent from God and you can keep all the men the committee sent. Hallelujah. This is very true, that revival is a Holy Ghost dictatorship. This is not a democracy where everybody has a vote and everybody has an opinion. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody got one. And it doesn't necessarily mean they know what they're talking about. Just because they want to adhere to the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which is Nicolai meaning to rule and laity meaning the congregation. Jesus hated the congregation trying to rule. A man and his God can do more than the whole democracy of America if the man and his God stay straight. And there is where the problem lies. A lot of them can't stay straight because power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. But on the other hand, the Holy Ghost dictator must be listened to as long as he's right, as long as God's with him. When he tells something false, then in the Old Testament you had one chance to be right. And if you missed, it was stones, brother. They stoned until dead, the false prophets. Now, if we just had that today in the church, we'd have less people running around saying, God told me this, and God told me that, and God told me something else. That they could just get stoned. Hallelujah. But as long as the Lord speaks through the mouthpiece, like he told Brother Aaron and Sister Miriam, who was so upset with Moses, their brother. You know, your brother and sister cause you more trouble than anything. Moses' brother and sister said, we're going to jump on you about that Ethiopian woman you married. Well, come on, said Moses. When they got there, they didn't say one word about that woman. All they said was, do you think you're the only spiritual person around here that God can use? It's amazing how people use one thing to get at something else because they have an axe to grind and an ulterior motive. Hallelujah to God. Smile big with me now. And Moses, the meekest man on earth, couldn't even defend himself, so God had to come down and defend him and say, listen, you two, if there's a prophet around, I'll speak to him. For the prophecy, the dreamer, I'll give him a dream. Of an visionary, I'll give him a vision. If he's a healer, I'll give him a healing. But my servant Moses is not like the rest of you bunch. He's a different breed. He's not the status quo. He's special to me. With him, I'm going to speak mouth to mouth, eye to eye, ear to ear, face to face. Apparently, not in dark things, and the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. I believe there's a place in God where we can get closer and have intimate fellowship with the Most High. We can move in Christ's stead. I believe that. Glory to God. So getting back to Ephesus, somebody else was sent in Paul's place. Paul sent them, as a matter of fact. And just as soon as he sent somebody else to do his job, which never works, he himself stayed in Asia for a season. Now, who he sent was Timothy and Erastus, although he knew he was supposed to go himself. But I'm going to stay here for another season. A season's 3 months, right? Now, there's a change of seasons that comes along periodically. I think we are now about to change seasons here on June the 1st. Things are about to change. If you don't like the way God deals with you, cheer up. He'll change. You may not have liked the way he dealt with you before, but you might not really like this next way he's going to deal with you. Now, that's called the personal dispensation. A dispensation is a period of time between which God deals with his people in a specific way. And in the history, we've had 7 dispensations, or we'll have by the time the millennium comes. So Jeremiah is saying amen to a false prophet, Hananiah. the false prophet gets so bold, he grabs Jeremiah's wooden yoke and yanks it off his neck and breaks the yoke. Thus saith the Lord, I break the yoke off in the neck of Babylon, and Nebuchadnezzar is going to send back the gold vessels and apologize in 2 years. Boy, that sounds good, said Jeremiah, who'd been shedding so many tears that his face was red and swollen. Amen. Well, be careful what you say amen to. Just because the preacher says say amen, I don't mean you say amen, because when you say amen, you're saying so be it. Well, he goes home, goes to bed. God comes in his room, wakes him up, says, Jeremiah, how come you said amen to a false prophecy? When I already told you, when you already prophesied that it's going to be 70 years, the old boy only missed it by 68. He said, and you let him take my yoke that I put on you off your neck and break it? Now, understand, Jeremiah, how I work with yokes. If it's a yoke the devil put on you, I'll break that, yes. For the anointing breaks the yoke, and the yoke is destroyed because of the anointing. But if it's a yoke that I put on you for your ministry and for a sign, I don't change my mind. I'm not double-minded and vacillating. I don't repent. The only time I've ever repented is when whole cities repented of their sin. I repented of killing them. And I did repent one time of making mankind. But that's all I've ever repented. I don't repent. People have to repent. And now listen, I'm going to give you another yoke. Oh, you are, Lord? Yeah, but you may not like this one. Well, what is it? It's a yoke of iron. Oh, God, give me back my wooden yoke. Nope. You let the devil take it off you and break it and issue a false prophecy. Now, you got to pay attention, Jeremiah. Yes, Lord. Now, I want you to wear this iron yoke tomorrow when you meet Hananiah. Say, come on, Hananiah, see if you can pull this one off and break it. Hananiah could have worked all day and never broke the iron yoke. Now, listen, I'm trying to say, if you don't like the way God's dealing with you and using you, there'll be a change. You better get a hold of what you got so God can give you more. Don't play fast and loose with this thing. Don't just say, well, someday I'm going to quit selling cars and go preach. Say hallelujah. And if you do have a natural world vocation, minister during your vocation. The best place in the world to start operating gifts is down at Walmart. Yeah, Walmart. If you miss down at Walmart, the people just look at you sideways and think another nut got loose from the pen up here. If you miss in church, the good old saints will never forgive you. Get a handle on them, what you're doing, and hone it before you bring it to church. Am I telling you the truth or what? Oh, labo hushriyatag. A change of seasons. You may not like the change. So hang on to what you got, and God will give you more. Unto him that hath shall be given. Unto him that hath not, he that dropped the ball and took his hand off the plow, etc., etc. Unto him that hath not shall be taken away, even what he seems to have, and given to him that hath. Have you ever wondered why you went to a certain place or a certain meeting, and they'd rather see a rattlesnake show up than see you come in? Have you ever wondered about that? And you say, my goodness, I didn't do nothing to these people. Why are they so mean to me? Well, somehow they perceive in the spirit that you who have something is taken away from them. But they're pretending to have. And lots of phonies. And you can't find them out until you get a good fire going. Out comes the viper. Latches on Paul. Paul looks the devil in the eye and says, I've seen you before, and I'm going to shake you off. Felt no harm. Didn't get puffed up. Didn't get all swelled up like a horned toad. Didn't have a fall. Didn't drop dead. Didn't die like they all expected him to, just to perish and die. just kept on fighting the devil. The devil had no effect on him. Would you like to get the devil off your back like that? Huh? All these prognostications. You're going to fall. You're going to die. You're going to get puffed up on an ego trip. Would you do anything scriptural to get rid of the devil and get him off your back? If it was scriptural, would you do it? Well, good. This is scriptural. Right in Acts 27. At the count of three, start shaking. It's scriptural. Paul shook it off, and that's in Acts 27. So it's in the Bible, that makes it scriptural. You ready? One, two, three, shake. Now, brother, I can't do that. That's foolish. Of course it's foolish. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, and the base things to confound the mighty. And the things which the world despises to bring down what it loves. Folks, have a hot time. Don't you feel lighter and better? I'll fly away over it. My wing is unarmed, unharmed. Oh, glory to God. You may be seated. Hallelujah to God. Someone said, I can't do that because they'll call me a Quaker. Or they might call me a Shaker. What do you care what they call you? As long as you get loose from the devil and get him off your back and do whatever you got to do. Hallelujah. Woo! Shine. Hallelujah. Thank God. I have to read this. Maybe I shouldn't, but I just got to read this because this was a stir, too. We've had a stir in the last 15 seconds. A big stir here. At least a big stir for some of you. And the same time there arose no small stir about that way. Now, funny thing about the Apostle Paul, wherever he goes, he's either going to have revival or he's going to have a riot. It's always going to be one thing or the other, revival or a riot. And he had a big stir until it was time to get out of town. And then he started another big stir. That's when the riot started, halfway through chapter 19 of the book of Acts. The riot started. See, if he had only got out of there when he knew to leave, when God spoke to him and said, now it's time for you to move on, go to Macedonia. When you're done there, go to Achaia, then you go to Jerusalem, and then go to Rome. And he purposed in spirit to do this, but it looks good. He thought he'd rest on his laurels and take a vacation. He thought he'd just enjoy and kick back. You know, he'd worked pretty hard here. He labored. He had the whole town in his pocket, and the mayor was in the other pocket. And whatever he wanted, he just snapped his finger, brother, and he got it. That was that great open door. That was that great effectual door with lots of adversaries. It just wasn't time for the adversaries to kick up yet. But brother, the storm is always coming. I don't care how bright the stars and the full moon is tonight and how hot the sun shines tomorrow, the storm is always coming. There's always leaving too. There's a time for everything upon the face of the earth. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing, and on and on and on you can go with the times that Solomon talked about. So he sent somebody else when he should have went himself, and then there was a riot. No small stir kicked up. And did you know, though he planned on staying 3 months to enjoy himself and to collect all those special offerings that was coming in, here and there. Hallelujah. It was the shortest 3 months I ever saw. His season lasted less than 24 hours. Because the next day, not even able to come out into the theater to speak on the stage, the next day he fell upon the disciples' head and cried and said, boo-hoo, goodbye. I will see you later. Where you going, Paul? Where I should have went in the first place. Where's that? Macedonia. And the Bible said in chapter 20, verse 1, and he departed to go to Macedonia. Well, for goodness sake, Paul, why didn't you do that yesterday? timing is the key to every supernatural event. Hallelujah to God. They that know their God shall be strong and do exploits. If you know your timing, brother, and I'm starting to know it right now, it's about time to do something. How do I know this? Because a lot of you look like you've had a bellyful already. You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. I see some of you already stuffed on the Word of God. You can't dissimulate or digest another crumb. Hallelujah. All, in fact, as it is, you're going to have to wait till tomorrow while you're chewing your cud for some of this revelation to dawn on you. Since we do preach dehydrated versions, you must add water. There are lots of time capsules in the sermon tonight. Say, praising up my God. Hallelujah to God. Praise Him. Woo! We're not going to cover the first chapter where He found those disciples and they got the Holy Ghost and got rebaptized and spent 3 months in the synagogue and the season changed again and then they had to go to school for 2 years. Brother, it's time to go to school because in 2 years the whole continent heard the gospel. Discipline yourself in the Word. Hallelujah. Cast out devils. The seven sons of Sceva couldn't do it, but Paul said, get out of the way and I'll show you my light work. Hallelujah. And here the Word of God grew. They took all their idolatry and all their books and their tapes and their CDs and their videos and all that stuff and burned them to the tune of 50,000 pieces of silver. So mightily grew the Word, and the Spirit began to grow. See, revival has a peak. Believe me, we haven't peaked here yet. And when the peak goes past, then look out, because there'll be a lot of adversaries, because it's time for the revival to gel then, and to assimilate, and to develop, and cause you to grow into His stature from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And then after that incubation period, time for another revival. Because there's a time for everything beneath the sun. Say praise the Lord. Oh, glory to God. So it was a great time when God, in this very city, God wrought special miracles from the hands of Paul. So they were brought unto the sick, handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, if I asked you tonight if you need the miracle, you'd say, no, I need a special miracle. Oh, I'm looking for a specialist because I need a special miracle. Well, God never worked special miracles till they got out of the synagogue and went to Tyrannus to school. Let me repeat that. They left the synagogue where they wrangled over the doctrine and wrangled over the preaching. And they went to school and applied themselves and studied to the point that an entire continent of Asia had heard the gospel in 2 years. And God was so pleased about the gospel being spread and preached and taught and witnessed. And that a whole continent heard the gospel, because the only thing Jesus cares about upon the face of planet Earth is souls. He don't care if the Red Sox win the World Series. The Yankees are praying to win too. Whose prayer is He going to answer? So he's not into that. Man, He said, who made me a divider between you and your brother? Hallelujah. But He was so concerned that and happy that the whole continent heard the gospel. It was after that, the next verse said, He wrought the special miracles. So if you will get these soul-winning tools, the gifts of the Spirit, if you get these hell-clobbering, kingdom of darkness destroying weapons, the gifts of the Spirit, which build the kingdom of God and destroy the kingdom of Satan, you will so please God because of these soul winning tools that He will work those special miracles. And did you know that God would heal a sinner? Oft times Jesus healed sinners and said, now you sin no more lest the worst thing come upon you. Of course, He never gave the sinner a Holy Ghost. It takes a holy person to get the Holy Ghost. A repentant, hungry, worshiping, praising person to receive the Holy Ghost. But I seen him heal sinners and say, sin no more. Say amen. God is so gracious to the new convert, to the heathen, to the person who it's just raw recruit, just the unregenerate sitting on the pew. He's so gracious to them that he'll just heal them free of charge and say, now, bud, it's up to you. It's up to you what you do. You see what I can do. Now let's see what you can do. Repent or perish. Well, if you had a victory, I'm just telling you, Paul needed to hone his timing just a little bit. And I need to hone mine right now, too, because I need to roll up my sleeves and get to work here. Because there comes a time in every preaching session where you have to shut up and get to work and prove the thing you preach. Say, thank God. Wave your hand in victory. Well, I feel happy about that. Oh, praising my God forever. My, didn't it rain? Come on, let's praise Him some more. He liveth. He cometh. Oh, glory to God. He worketh. Oh, glory to God. He is concerned about you all. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. Praising my God. Glory to the Lamb. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All right, we're going to minister now as the Lord leads us, because we believe in the four M's. Music, message, ministry, and miracles. Any four M's with us? Now, if we don't give an altar call tonight, it's probably because God will use the miracle to win a soul. 75% of his earthly ministry was to an individual. Whole chapters dealt with one person and then one problem. Once in a while, he did a mass miracle. Yes. That's, you know, group therapy all together now, everyone at the same time. Hallelujah. I love him, don't you? Sister Stan, let's pray for you first. You believe the Lord can heal you tonight?
Yes, sir.
You've come to be healed?
Yes, sir.
Well, it's time for me to hush and start putting this into operation. Let your eyes get big as saucers, because his gifts are great, but he's greater than his gifts. Hallelujah. Raise your hands. I will pray for you as the Lord speaks to me, okay?
Yes, sir.
First off, God is going to touch you in your throat. Touch on the thyroid of your throat. Of course, it looks like it's missing, but God wants to give it back to you. Do you believe me?
Yes, sir.
Take a step of faith. Get out of the boat, Sister Peter. Don't look down. Well, ever since the doctor worked on you and took this thing out, it seems like you still got a lump in there. And you're going to lose it now.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah. I'm enjoying this. Now, don't you feel one bit nervous for me, because I'm in my element now. This is just what I do. Spent 42 years of doing this. Bound to learn something about your job in 42 years, or you better quit it. Hallelujah. You want God to move the lump?
Yes, sir.
How many years has it been?
I don't remember when I had the surgery. 10 or 12
years. Well, do I care how long she had it? No. Then why do I ask her? To prove to you that she actually had it. Since a few are lacking to embrace it by faith. Let me talk about faith just 1 second, because we teach as we demonstrate, okay? If I tell you everything you know, that's not faith. That's confirmation. You already knew that. I'd have to tell you something you don't know for you to use your faith. Oh my, I don't know, but I'm going to believe. I'm going to reach out and accept it, although I can't prove it. That's when you use faith. Hope I'm not messing up your doctrine now. Someone said, well, if I could just get a miracle, I'd have faith. You can't get faith out of a miracle. It's too quick. A miracle is an instant work. Now, if you've got a healing, you know, the gradual, progressive restoration of God, every day you could keep believing God, exercising faith, because it takes time for faith to exercise, for faith to grow. Hope I didn't mess up your doctrine now. God. All right. Again, the blood pressure in your body has gone very high.
Yes, very high.
The doctor called it hypertension because he hid behind that big, long word. Neither did he ever heal it for you, did he?
Never.
Just give you them blood pressure pills?
50, 60, many, many, many.
My goodness, Granny, listen. I understand that 80% of America are drug addicts. And most of them, at least 70% of them, are all legal. They all have prescriptions. Have you ever been to a drugstore, to the pharmacy department, and look, shelf after shelf of white paper bags? It's time for you to get weaned. You're going to wean yourself off of this. Hallelujah! Look out now. I'm in danger of becoming apostolic here. Woo! Kayalabohushai. Now listen. You've had fluid condition too. Fluid condition?
Yes.
You suffer much with your legs?
Yes, sir.
You're suffering with them right now?
Yes, sir.
Should I quit or pray for it all?
At all.
Pray for it all? Well, okay then. She's forcing me. What a delightful experience to be forced. Now, dear sister, in your heart, you've had pressure and throbbing, weird beats in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Have I spoke you the truth so far?
Yes, sir.
You're numb down that arm right through there.
Want to take it up?
Mm-hmm. Right across there, Tom.
Yes.
You can't even sleep on that side. You have to sleep over here. Yeah, well, it gets cut off. Well, both sides are going to be loosed. There's one side here. Let's see, I can turn around. Yeah. Oh, you got to remember one thing when you're facing somebody. Everything's opposite. This is the arm.
Yes.
But I still saw a numb place right through there.
Well, when I pulled that one up, it is.
Okay. Now take another step. Let's see what else you need. You need a hip replacement. Is that right?
They're bad. I didn't know I needed it, but they're bad.
Yeah, well, now you know. I see it a little worse in your right hip. Not that that matters, but it's worse in the right. So, Lord, when you send a new pair of hip joints, straight over the counter from Heaven's Parts Department. Start with the right. And then send the left. You're not bankrupt. You got a whole pair up there. Like you got all them parts up there. Glory to God. Well, I'm enjoying this. Get out of that boat, little father there, Sister Peter. Now, can you remember everything? Do you think you can remember everything?
Yes, sir.
Okay, because this is very important. Because at the point where the candidate can no longer retain, God cuts it off because he doesn't waste a crumb. After he picks up 12 basketfuls of fragments after feeding 5,000, he don't even waste a crumb. Them crumbs are so powerful. First time I saw Lazarus, he was at the rich man's table eating crumbs, and the last time I saw him, he was in Abraham's bosom. That's how powerful a crumb is.
Hey, look.
That Syrophoenician woman finally found out who she was. She said, hot diggity dog, I'm a dog. I'm going to claim my rights now that I don't now that I know who I am, I'm claiming on dogs' rights. Dogs got the right to the crumbs. I don't cast the devil out of my daughter. And Jesus said, I can't take this no more. Go home. The crumb has cast the devil out of your daughter. Quickly, let me finish here. You've got something bothering your stomach right through here where you need surgery.
Okay.
Surgery. And you folks roll up your sleeves now and prepare for surgery because this is the body ministry. Hello? You might be next for surgery, you know.
Hello, you.
And there's a little ringing up in your head, in your ears.
It's neck right now. Mm-hmm.
All right, finally. Ah, finally. The sugar is going out of whack in your blood. Sugar imbalance. So that's going to leave you. This is why your eyes are burning and blurring. That's why the upper stomach right there has got a problem right over where the pancreas is.
Bad, bad, bad. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Suffer a lot.
All right, that's your pancreas. It's not making insulin. That's why there's sugar in your blood. And the sugar's eating your eye strength up. Now, your x-ray's coming in awful clear right now. And I might say the x-ray's free. And so is the cure. What I really said was, the word of knowledge is free. And so is the work of the miracles. That's what I really said. Just bless this woman of her infirmities tonight. Well, for she has faith to believe at this time that they're gone, because they are gone. Nita, what's loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. What's bound on earth is bound in heaven. That's the keys to the kingdom, the power of binding and loosing. Woo, praise God. Now let her shout for a while. She's still translated. When she gets back to earth directly, we are going to check on her because the Bible says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Her eyes are open. She's back. All right. Walk with me. This is called the faith walk. Now follow me. These signs shall follow them that believe. I'm a believer. She's a sign. And she's following me. You were supposed to do this too, you apostolics, you. Hallelujah. You want to get your church built up? You're going to have to exercise a power demonstration to build your church. The church, Paul said, is built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And if there's not an apostolic and prophetic ministry in the foundation of your church, you have a welfare agency. You don't have a church. Say hallelujah. Change the shingle. Now that you're following me, where's the pain in your legs?
In my legs? They don't hurt.
Well, the question was, where's the pain in your legs? No pain? You know that they feel a little puffy because the fluid is draining. The fluid's draining. Step of faith. Take a deep breath and check your heart. How's the beat going on?
Okay.
Swallow again. You swallowed it. Swallow again.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
Where's the lump?
No, I don't feel it.
Swallow again, let the devil see you do it. No lump?
No, sir. No lump.
Lean forward now and see if there's any pressure in your head when you stoop. Some up for air? Any pounding in the head?
No, sir.
Your blood pressure's down without pills. You will take the pill that I have, won't you?
Oh, yes.
Here it is. It's a gospel. Oh, glory to God. Now, when these body ministry people here tonight rolled up their sleeves and did surgery together on your stomach, press in and see what you find there now. Examine. Take your time on every be guilty of leading the witness.
Well, there's still a hernia there.
Oh, there is. You got to be like a bulldog on the trail. Bloodhound on the trail and a bulldog when it comes to not taking no for an answer. How many times do I pray until it's gone? Well, I prayed once. Elijah's servant didn't run up the mountain once, nor did Naaman jump in the river once. Listen, go on.